Today I want to talk about turning an idea into physical reality. Isn't that what life is? Turning an idea into physical reality. Our bodies do that automatically, right? In some cases, right? The food that we eat, it turns broccoli into muscle, bone, blood, tissue. It's like, oh yeah, that's what it does. That's what it does. We use our minds to do this lots of times. Just think of it. I want a sip of coffee. That's an idea, right? Now I'm going to reach to my right and pick up my coffee cup and take a sip. I did it. I had the idea to exercise in the morning. I exercised. I had the idea that I was providing energy, electricity to the cells of my body as I exercised. And I think I succeeded in closing this physical reality. We turn ideas into physical reality all day long, every day. It's what we do. We don't notice that process or consider it profound or important because we do it so often and we do it so fast. Most of us are familiar with the idea of procrastination, right? It's like, oh yeah, I know what procrastination is. Well, we think it's a delay in turning an idea into physical reality. It may be, but I think it could be something else as well. It might be the condition that results when we have a conflict between at least two competing ideas, right? We've got something to do, an idea, but now there are other ideas that are in opposition. Maybe it could be something like, I have to versus I don't want to. I have to versus I don't know how to. I want to do this versus I'm afraid that I won't do it well. It's important to do versus it's not important to do. Now, there are probably many other ideas that are in conflict similar to that, related to matter, energy, space, time. For example, I don't have the tools I need, or I'm too tired to do this, or my workspace is too limited, or I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to do this. That idea of competing ideas is interesting. In the first two examples I used, you know, sipping coffee and exercising, those were clear and focused ideas. They didn't have a lot of competition. When you get out of bed in the morning, the idea that you're probably focused on, the one that you're going to turn into physical reality quickest, is the one that says, you need to go to the bathroom. First thing, don't do other things, go to the bathroom first. All the other ideas can wait. This one has supremacy. Go, oh yeah, yep. I think one reason so many people feel overwhelmed is because of all the ideas, all the information that we get bombarded with. I want to do this, I need to do this, and we are really in an information-laden existence now, as compared to years ago. Technology has some of that stuff, and books, and Amazon, and e-books, and emails, and smartphones. We're never away from energy flows. And every one of us is seeking ways to get more done in our day. We want to learn how to multitask. Just multitasking? Not enough nowadays. I need to multitask. We want to go in different directions at the same time, and it is the pressure of that. I'm being pulled in all these directions, and I want to go in all these different directions. And the problem that results in our heads and our hearts are those areas are the battlegrounds as ideas fight for dominance. How about this? Manifest me. Do me. Ignore them. Hurry up. It's my turn. We're running out of time. Those could be the voices of these conflicting impulses. If we could actually hear them. We can feel the pressure of them, but we don't necessarily hear them, although I think in some cases they are very clear for us. Golf as a sport is one of the most difficult to play well, but I think it's one of the simplest. Golf is about hitting a ball in a certain direction for a certain distance. That's it. Distance and direction. All a golfer has to do is hit the ball the desired distance in the desired direction. Easy. No, simple, not easy. Actually, doing it is very, very difficult. The same could be said for sports car racing, except in that case, we're going to add a third factor, speed. Distance, direction, and speed. In both golf and car racing, and pretty much all other activities related to turning an idea into physical reality, we have ideas that positively and negatively influence our energy exchanges. Think of this. In golf, we exchange energy with the golf club, and it is the head of the golf club that makes contact with the golf ball. How we swing the golf club affects that energy exchange and the distance and direction that the ball will go after contact. In driving a car, doesn't have to be a race car, could be the car you're driving to the grocery store or the post office, is we affect the distance, direction, and speed of the car by using our hands and feet to control the steering wheel, the gas pedal, and the brake pedal. Each of these parts influence other parts of the car, resulting in the desired direction, distance, and speed. Some ideas are more connected to distance, while others pertain more obviously to direction and speed. Take this idea, for instance. I can't. That's like the brake pedal being pushed down in the vehicle that slows us down or brings us to a complete stop. I can is an accelerating idea. Uh-oh. Could be the impulse to change direction or to use the brakes to slow down or come to a complete stop. Turning an idea into physical reality will involve lots of ideas being processed, feelings being felt, words being spoken to ourselves and others, and many actions taken and many actions not taken. The requirement for turning an idea into physical reality is to give energy, attention, and intention to the ideas that we want to physically manifest. I don't think this is very much different than the process of gardening. In gardening, we give our attention to the things we want to grow. We feed them, we care for them, we protect them, we make sure their needs are fulfilled so they can grow. Part of that process may involve removing weeds, but the purpose of gardening is not to have a weed-free garden. The purpose is to grow what we want and to enjoy the process of growing what we want. For people who have had the idea fight cancer marketed to them, it would serve them to remember that it is better for them and their goal to grow healthier, not devote their attention and intention into rejecting what is, that is, the diagnosis of cancer. I could even suggest that cancer is a symptom of people's habits of rejecting what is. So instead of having their attention and intention devoted, their energy devoted to creating health, they were fighting what is. And it results in those symptoms. there are certain clear and understandable ingredients to add to an idea so that it becomes a physical reality. As simple as that sounds, those ingredients can be ignored or misunderstood, even by knowledgeable people. I had a client who was a doctor. He had cancer. He wanted to work with me because he knew what his peers were telling him to do. He didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. But this is the problem. He didn't eat decent food. His beverage of choice? Diet Pepsi. All hours of the night and day. He smoked cigarettes. He didn't sleep if he could help it. So he would tell me about being up at 4 in the morning and sleeping till 10 and on and on and on. It's like, And he put his attention on how little time he had each day and how much he had to do. So he was always playing on a tilted playing field of time. And guess what? He had lousy relationships with his ex-wife and his children. And he had money worries. And his mantra had been for 3 years prior, and he used this expression, "This stress is going to kill me." And he repeated that to himself multiple times every single day for years, 3 years, he said. And then he manifested the symptoms of cancer. And this guy was a doctor. You think this is a good idea to be adding this energy to your body? Next day he would do the same thing again and again. It's pretty easy for you and I to sit here and go, oh, you know what? Those were not the ingredients that he needed to grow healthier. In fact, those ingredients that he was adding, just the opposite. The physical reality that he was manifesting with those ideas was a physical reality that, in retrospect, oh gee, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, that's not what I had in mind. That's not what I wanted. Yeah. Okay. Let's back up. To turn an idea into physical reality, first thing you need is an idea. An idea is an energy pattern. I think we call it forth from the divine, from that unseen spiritual level. We pull it out of that level of existence. We acquire that idea energy. For some people, getting ideas is really, really easy. I got a lot of ideas, got ideas by the gazillion. And for other people, it's not so easy. Idea? Oh, I once had one. Oh, that sort of thing. But too many ideas seeking expression, that can be problematic. Because those ideas do want to seek physical expression. They do want to come into physical reality. They do want to grow. Just like a fertilized ovum in the womb of a living creature. It does want to grow and come into physical reality. But having no idea is like sitting in a car. Well, I'm sitting in my vehicle and I have no idea about where to go. I don't have any idea of the destination. I'm pretty much with no idea of destination or purpose. We're just going to sit there. Inertia is going to be the order of the day. We're not going to do much. We're not going to produce any physical reality. It was like, I don't have an idea of what to produce. Too many ideas can be a problem because of our own limitations, the way we use time, not flowing energy enough energy into these ideas to grow them all into health so they grow strong. We can have so many ideas that we lose interest in them. Oh, yeah, that lasted for minutes or days, and then I went on to something else. If we don't stay connected to an idea and sustain it with a consistent energy flow, it won't come into physical manifestation. We can get bogged down in minutiae. I want to be a multi gazillionaire. What color ties should I wear? That's minutia. That is something we don't need to be focused on at this point. And we overwhelm ourselves with all these different ideas, all this minutia, all this stuff, and it's like, wow, I can't make anything happen. I'm discouraged. And that's really what happens. It takes discipline to be able to prune our ideas back. And frankly, that's similar to pruning a fruit tree. I was taught how to prune a fruit tree when I got out of the army by an uncle-in-law. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to understand something about agriculture after living in Panama for 4 years. And I quickly understood the reasoning behind pruning. A fruit tree will naturally produce more buds, more fruit, than is healthy for the tree, for the branches, and for the fruit itself. So the tree, the branches, and the fruit can be disadvantaged by this abundance of, I'll say, ideas, of attempts to produce. 10 apples on a branch means that the energy flow from the roots to the trunk to the branch is now going to be distributed in 10 different portions. If there were 5 apples on that tree, that energy now is distributed to 5 apples. Those apples are going to grow stronger, healthier, bigger. It's like, they're going to be able to resist disease better and pests. You go, oh yeah. Good idea. Branches can break under the weight of too many pieces of fruit growing on it at one time because of winds, because of rainstorms, because of other storms. You go, and disease can enter through the break and ultimately kill that tree. It's like, who's going to prune it and who's going to protect the tree from overproduction? Us. Undernourished apples that are unhealthy, they strain the weight-bearing capability of the branches while over-demanding energy from the roots and the trunk. All in all, if you own fruit trees and that's your business, that's not a desirable condition. That's not what you want. And this concept translates to human behavior as well. A typical family with more children than they can nurture or nourish or help grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, more than they can protect, more than whose needs they can fulfill, will tend to produce children who are mentally, emotionally, and physically undernourished. They didn't get enough energy in these areas. And they're going to have a tendency to ill health in some or all of those areas, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically. The burden of too many children strains the parents. Their mental, emotional, and physical capacity to care for these children, their financial capacity, their time capacity, so they are no longer able to provide the necessary energy to their offspring. Ideas are like fruit and are like children. We individually can't support, grow, and nurture an unlimited number. We have to prune our ideas because the mind is prolific, almost like an uncapped well. Ideas will bubble up for some of us and gush out. I had another idea. Being organized and disciplined enough to effectively decide which ideas should we grow? Do we want to grow? Do we have the talent to grow? Do we have the passion to grow? And which ones are better to let go of? A challenge for a person who's interested in a real lot of things and who receives a lot of ideas is the impulse to move in a lot of different directions. Imagine a person who has 360 ideas that he or she finds exciting. If that person were to take 360 steps, one step in each of those 360 directions, at the end of the day, they would have made virtually no progress in bringing anything into physical reality. To emphasize this point, draw a circle, mark it with 360 points around it, like a compass. And from that center point, advance one step in each direction. Despite all the energy expressed, all the energy expended, 360 steps, that's a lot of energy. Basically, no progress will be made. No progress will be seen. No progress will be felt. And no momentum will be created. There's a principle in business and maybe even education that instead of going wide in 360 degrees or something similar, go deep. Take 360 steps in one direction or 180 steps in each of two directions. You'll be better off. You'll be more knowledgeable. You'll be better at bringing ideas into physical reality. Unless we're selective in our mental, emotional, and physical directions that we're sending our energy, we won't create very much desirable physical reality. One alternative would be to have a whole bunch of people that will take our idea energy. Hey, I've got 360 ideas, and I've got way more than 360 people working for me. Here, you go in this direction, you go in this direction, you go in this direction, and then we might be able to create a lot of physical reality that we desire. But not many of us have that much staff doing our bidding. An idea is an energy pattern. Physical reality is a set of energy patterns where the frequency has been lowered so we can perceive it with our five senses. The process of turning an idea, an energy pattern, into physical reality, a set of energy patterns, is all about organizing energy. I want to mind map the journaling of this topic. Mind mapping is a method of organizing ideas. It's a method of organizing energy. I'm searching through my books the other day for one specific book, but I use librarything.com to keep my books organized. But this particular book doesn't have a notation telling me on which shelf it resides. I've looked and looked and looked, and I have not yet been able to find it. LibraryThing.com is my means, and a means of, I saw it the other day, 1,700,000 people use for organizing the energy that is their list of books. Having a code in LibraryThing telling me on which shelf in my home that my books are on is a method of organizing those books even further. And not having it noted for the book I'm searching for means this book is disorganized energy, and I can't find it. Not being able to organize energy is a problem. Think of that. Not being able to organize energy is a problem. If we talk to somebody who was unable to learn their times table, 1 times 1 equals 1, 1 times 2 equals 2, 2 times 2 equals 4, they're not able to organize that energy, they're not going to be able to learn it. what we say about some people who have some disorder on the autistic spectrum. It's like, they're processing / organizing energy differently than others, or they're not organizing energy at all. It's a problem. It can be frustrating. From a larger view, it can have tremendous impact on our success, on our financial situation, on our self-esteem, on our relationships. The other day I watched a retired medical doctor. He now does pre-surgical consultations. He organizes energy using forms, using a computer, using a device to look in your ears and your nose, and a stethoscope to listen to breathing and heartbeat and so on. That's how he organizes energy. I bet he is paid more money for organizing energy the way he does, and paid more respect than, say, the garbage men who pick up garbage in my neighborhood twice a week. That's an essential service, but we don't think of the skills involved in that warrant the payment or the respect that we would give to a medical doctor. This process of organizing energy is so common, we don't appreciate that we're organizing energy. I just washed and dried the dishes from breakfast. Dirty dishes on the counter or in the sink, to me, represent disorganized energy. I don't like that. I put stamps the other day on letters that were sitting on the kitchen counter. Letters that are not stamped, disorganized energy. After I stamped them, I walked out to the front, put them inside the mailbox, and turned up the red flag. I organized the energy so the mailman would know there were things inside the mailbox for him to take out. It's like, We organize energy all the time, sometimes more effectively than others. The other day I was journaling, and I came back to my journaling because I wasn't completed. I was interrupted. Incomplete journaling session, to me, represents disorganized energy. One of the projects I have on my list, and have had for several days, is to learn how to use this software named Camtasia. It's video software. I want to learn how to use it. I need to organize the energy around this. This is how it works. You're going to do this and do that. Guess what? Camtasia itself is software that is designed to help organize energy in the form of video. Visual. Organizing energy. Being effective at organizing energy feels really good. Turning an idea into physical reality hinges on our ability to organize energy. This is what we do, and this is what we want to be good at doing, organizing energy. When I look at the classic definition of stress, which is a non-specific response to a demand placed upon the body, I now think of demand as a demand to organize energy effectively to handle that demand. Our response is the energy that we organized for the purpose of satisfying this demand. And a non-specific response is, I'm not organizing my energy, and we become like a directionless tornado where that stress is building and building and building in our bodies and our minds. And that's a problem. I thought of fight or flight, which is what happens when we're under stress. But I think that response, fight or flight, easier and more likely to be a male electric response rather than a female. And I think organizing energy into lightning doesn't require that much skill or caring as what the female's approach would be. A female magnetic response of organizing energy is likely to be more caring, more nurturing, looking for a solution rather than just a strike out. Doesn't it make sense that magnetism would provide more structure than electricity? You need them both. You need them both. But you go, that's right. Yeah. Pull things together, organize them, pull them together, hold them together. Yep, give structure. This might explain why women are such effective organizers of energy. I've had a few experiences in the last 48, 72 hours that were very clear to me in which organizing energy in order to create physical reality were really difficult. I tried to get a customer service rep from our ISP to do something, and we were chatting. It was tedious. I had to wait a long time, and it was confusing, and this person, every time I ask a question, seemed to disappear into who knows where and then come back with an incomplete answer. I finally gave up. Later on, I went back and tried again, this time with a phone call. In a different scenario, a different situation with a different company, I tried to create an email address for Marianne on my Comcast account. So I go online and I read the directions and it says, you know, click here this if you want to, and I did. And I couldn't do it. It didn't allow me to do what I was doing or what I wanted to do and what it said I could do. Like, I couldn't organize the energy enough to create that email address. And because it was Saturday, I gave up and didn't even try to reach out to customer service. Yesterday, I also helped a client who couldn't do something, couldn't open an attachment of an email. He bought the healing codes from us and couldn't open it. And he's explaining something that I could not visualize. Finally, I connected to him on Skype. He shared his screen so I could see the energy, and then I organized it, told him what to do. I saw a screen that I had never seen before for Outlook. Like, that's different. We finally succeeded in getting him what he wanted. It was difficult in all three cases to organize energy into the physical reality that I wanted or he wanted. Two out of three cases, we succeeded. Processing information to the point of understanding. I go to him with being able to handle the attachment, or me going to Camtasia and learning how to use that software. Processing information to the point of understanding is the goal. Understanding is the recognition of the relationship of the parts of a structure or the parts of a system. In the process of turning an idea into physical reality, we, individually, are the main sources of information. Once we receive an idea that seeks manifestation, and because all ideas do, we have to select the idea that we're actually going to nurture and grow. Can't select them all. The way we add energy to an idea is the stories we tell ourselves. Even if we tell somebody else, we at the same time are telling ourselves that story. It should be obvious that if we're telling somebody a story, we're hearing ourselves tell that story. And if we're telling somebody else a story, we often intensify the story we're telling to another person because we really want them to get, we want them to get our situation. So we drill the meanings in that story even deeper to our own consciousness. Ever hear these words? It was so hard. It was so difficult. It was so painful. It was so bad. Those things create reality. Those are planted in our consciousness. We add huge energy into those ideas, and we're like, yikes, yikes. We can notice that the stories that we tell ourselves and others either make it easier for us to add energy, more energy, and grow that physical reality, or we're adding negative energy that grows a different type of reality that makes our lives not easier, but more difficult. Not more peaceful, but we add more struggle, more disharmony. It's as if the stories we tell ourselves are like adding fuel or nutrition or energy to the idea, fertilizer to make it grow, adding light to a plant, adding water to a plant, making it grow, or we're putting pesticide on it, or we're putting the brakes on the vehicle. It's like, oh, well, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I had. Somebody said, Neil, could you help me years ago push my car? It's stuck here in an incorrect place, you know, on the edge of a road or something. It's like, okay. Pushing. Hey, this is hard to push. Oh, wait a minute. You got the car in neutral? This is the days when you could do that. Oh, no, I have it in park. Oh, I have the handbrake on. Yikes. If we've got these kind of resistances, we're going to have a difficult time turning an idea into a physical reality, just like we would have a difficult time of moving a car with the brakes on that's in park. Here are the two biggest problems we face when it comes to turning an idea into physical reality. Number one, and maybe the most important, we believe that we can't create the desired physical reality. We believe we can't create the desired physical reality. This is based upon our experiences of causing effects that, as children, would have resulted in pain for somebody else, and we could tell by their upset, their anger, their misemotion, or caused pain to us. That needs to be healed. I mentioned previously, and this is a pretty common image, about tying up an elephant when it's very small to a large rope, to a stake in the ground, to prevent that elephant from breaking free. That elephant, even as they grow larger and larger and stronger, will have learned that they cannot break free from a rope tied around the ankle. We learn that we can't create positive results because we mislearned from our previous experiences and other people's reactions to our creation of physical reality. And we go, I can't do it. That belief is going to frustrate us, it's going to anger us, and it's going to discourage us. Every time we try to turn an idea into physical reality, and everybody must try to turn ideas into physical reality. It's life. If we're alive, it's what we have to do. The second main problem is the misfocus of our energy. We try to control what is not ours to control. We use our energy, instead of focusing on our beliefs and adding energy to what will strengthen the idea that we want to bring into physical reality, we let ourselves get distracted by details, by other ideas that are competing. We try to control other people. We try to control external circumstances that are outside of our control. We overwhelm ourselves trying to organize energy that it is not appropriate to energy. What tie do I wear when they provide me with the Nobel Prize? That's not what you want to focus on. What we need to focus on is the idea that we want to bring into physical reality and add the energies needed to it. We don't want to be led astray by all this other stuff that our egos tell us we need to deal with. These two problems can be healed. Both of them are based on false beliefs. They're lies. They're not true. No matter how many times we repeat it to ourselves that this is true, it's not true. It's not true. We still can make it strong, obviously, and hold us back like the rope on the elephant's ankle. And the rope around us is energetic. It's just a shadow. It's made up. It doesn't even exist physically. The false belief that we can't do it, and the other one that says external factors control our success and happiness, can be healed. Both of them are false. If we want to create physical reality, and we do, we have to, it makes sense to create what is wanted and what is naturally being created. We don't have to do everything ourselves. In fact, we have to do very little when it comes down to it. In letter one of Christ Returns, reveal startling truth. When Jesus is out in the desert and he's discovering the reality of divine consciousness, he's understanding what God really is, not what he's been told it was, but now he's discovering what it really is. That divine consciousness is always organizing energy, always organizing energy for the well-being of its creations. It organizes energy for the purpose of creating for you and me growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of our needs, work, our survival. There's a rhythm to it. It's not just a flood. There's a rhythm to it, all within a system of spiritual law and order. The law of cause and effect. If streams of divine consciousness are moving to create these physical realities, growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, divine consciousness is working for us, in us, and through us. Why don't we align our ideas to be in harmony with divine intention? If divine intention is to manifest this energy in the lives of its creations, why don't we do that? What would be better than that? Consider this for a moment. Do you think we could turn an idea into desired physical reality easier, faster, and more effectively if we organize energy in harmony with divine energy? I do. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Listen to this from the standpoint of organizing energy and bringing things into physical reality. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. You have organized energy into the reality that we experience, right? Isn't that what's being said? We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Into your care, which is your ability and willingness to organize our energy into well-being. Thank you. It is so. Amen.